What does God want from me? I'm sure if I asked that question, I'd get a multitude of answers. Well, first of all, God wants me to be saved. Amen? God wants everybody to be saved. 2 Peter 3:9 says, He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Something else, God wants me to be separated. God wants me to live morally well and clean and ethical. God wants me to be honest. All these are good answers. But let's look at our text. God is talking to His people regarding their sacrifice. Or we could say better this, He's speaking to them about their attitude toward the things of God. Verses 5 through 7, look at it. Gather my saints together unto me, that those that have made a covenant with me by sacrifice, and the heaven shall declare his righteousness, for God is judge himself, Selah. Hear, O my people, I will speak, O Israel, and I will testify against thee. I am thy God, even thy God. And he goes on to tell them that he does not need their material things. Listen, and I know we're coming right to our missions conference, folks. God does not need this. He doesn't. He goes on to say he doesn't need bullocks and goats and fowls. They give them to him, but he already owns them. Psalm 24:1, the earth is the Lord's and the fullness thereof. And he goes on to say, look, I own the forest, and I own the hills, and I own the cattle upon the hills. And I remember Dr. Jim Vineyard years ago during the oil embargo when they weren't sure if they were going to be able to get gas to run their buses. And Dr. Jim Vineyard stood up boldly and said, bless God, if beer trucks run on Sunday, then God's buses will run on Sunday. He said, because God owns the hills, and God owns what's under the hills, and what's under the hills is oil. Amen. And God owns it all. Amen. Here he goes on to say that he really doesn't need our material things. By the way, can I say this? It doesn't mean that God doesn't want our material offerings. He's not saying that here. Some people say, oh, shoo, I'm off the hook for tithing now. God doesn't need my money. No, that's not what he's saying. What he's saying here is he wants us to give them with the right attitude and the right heart. You see, ladies and gentlemen, I'm fearful in our fundamental circles of the deadness of orthodoxy. I'm fearful about that. I'm fearful of that person who can sing like a bird, but they're so locked in. They don't even move. Amen. You think they've been paralyzed from the neck down when they sing. That deadness of that scares me. Amen. It scares me. And I'll tell you what, you read passages, it nauseates God. God wants us to have a heart that He has touched, that renders service, that renders offering here. And so when you think about it here, that's what He wants. He wants true sacrifice that emanates from a heart that loves Him. That's what He wants, amen. And so we look here and we see that God wants our sacrifice to be an outpouring of the love that we have inside of our hearts for Him. Think of a relationship. Now, again, I'm not trying to get anybody in trouble, but fellas, it's always a good idea to buy flowers for your sweetheart. Oh, and I heard a lot of amens from the ladies there. And the men are burning holes in me right now. Amen. Listen, why? What is that? It's just an outward expression of inward affection. Amen. You think about that. You buy your children something. Maybe something they want but necessarily don't need. You buy it for them. Why? It's an outward expression of inward affection. That's what God wants. God wants our love for Him coming out on the outside. And so look, if you would, at the text, and I'm moving quickly. It's 7 minutes to 8 here, and we're going to be done at 8:05. We've got a business meeting afterwards. What does God want for us? Well, the first thing I see in verse 14, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving. The first thing that God wants from you is your gratitude. Your gratitude. Psalm 100. Go over there with me quickly. Hold your place there. We're coming back to Psalm 50, but just a few pages over is Psalm 100. Great passage that was read when the pilgrims landed in Plymouth Rock. Psalm 100. Look, if you would, at verses 4 and 5. Many of you know this. Enter into his gates with thanksgiving, and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him, and bless his name. For the Lord is good, his mercy is everlasting, his truth endureth to all generations. Can I say this, ladies and gentlemen? It's not natural to be thankful. It is not a natural thing. It has to be taught. You say, how do you know that, Pastor? Well, Jesus gave us a great example. He healed 10 lepers, did he not? In Luke chapter 17. How many came back? And he was a Samaritan. A half-breed. Despised by the Jews. They didn't even think to come back to thank the one that was the only one that could have healed them of their disease. Why? Because it's not a natural thing to be thankful. Our fallen nature is not grateful. Listen, folks. He's done so much for you. Does he not deserve our gratitude? Listen, I believe that the testimony service of heaven, Brother Merrill, is going to be a lot of gratitude. It's going to be a lot of, I'm a wretch. But he died for me. He's the reason I'm here. He shed his blood for me. The Bible says in 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give. Can I say this in the good times and in the bad times? I've been doing some reflecting over the last year and a half here at our church, and we've walked through some rocky shores together. And you know what God wants us to do? Give thanks. I was talking to a preacher, and we were just sharing things about what had happened in the last year and a half. And I said, you know, I hated it. It was awful. Lost weight, lost sleep, lost a lot of tears. But I said, what we have now is a unified body of Christ. Amen. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Amen. God knows what he's doing. Amen. He wants our gratitude. What else does he want? Look, if you would, there, the next phrase in verse 14, it says in Psalm 50, it says, offer unto God thanksgiving and pay thy vows unto the Most High. You know what? God only wants, not only wants your gratitude, he wants your word. He wants your word. He wants obedience, paying your vows, doing what we say. Amen. And over in Ecclesiastes chapter 5, let me read it to you. Ecclesiastes chapter 5, verse 4 and 5. Familiar verses, many of us know them. It says, when thou vowest a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he hath no pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than thou shouldest vow and not pay. See, God takes very seriously when we make vows and promises to him. Be a person of your word. As Jesus said, let your yea be yea and your nay be nay. Amen. Keep your word. Amen. He wants your gratitude. He wants your word. Go back, if you would, to verse number 15 of Psalm 50. Look at this. It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. You know what else God wants? Your prayers. Folks, you know why the biggest reason why, the largest reason why God doesn't answer our prayers? We don't give them. He deeply desires to answer our prayers. I love that passage in Matthew chapter 7 where it talks about if a son would ask bread, would you give him a stone? Well, of course not. If he asked for an egg, would you give him a scorpion? Well, of course not. Then it says, how much better our Heavenly Father will give good gifts to him that those that ask. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, God wants your prayers. God wants your prayers in the morning. God wants your prayers in the afternoon. God wants your prayers in the evening. God wants your prayers when you're driving to work. God wants your prayers when you're making breakfast. God wants your prayers when you're reading the newspaper. God wants your prayers when you're watching the Tigers. And you really need them then. Amen. And God wants, listen, I'm trying to tell you this. God wants your prayers. He wants you to ask. Listen, there's nothing too hard for God. Amen. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. He can take that simple, small prayer and do incredible things with it. He wants us to pray. He wants our prayers. He wants our word. He wants our, by the way, and it says there too, it's, if you look at it, it says, and call upon me in the day of trouble. Pastor, I don't know what to do. Sometimes I don't either. But I know according to this, something we can do. We can pray. God loves to show himself strong in tight spots. Doesn't he? He's the one that said in Malachi chapter 3, verse 10, you know, when he's talking about tithing, he said, prove me. Go ahead. Go ahead, prove me. I'll never forget, we had a young couple in our church, and they had told me that they said, Pastor, we just started tithing. We believed it was right, and the Word of God smote us, and we just started tithing. And I was waiting for the but, the comma, amen. Oh, ye of little faith. Not you, but me. Amen. And I was waiting for, you know, the dog died, the house is on fire, the car is flipped over. You know, you get these stories. And they said, God's blessing our finances more than he ever has. We're doing so much better on 90 than we ever were on 100. I love hearing that. Amen. Why? Because God, listen, God desires to come through in tight spots. He likes to be proven. God wants to be your God in the difficulties of life and in the good times too. Amen. So he wants our prayers. He wants your word. He wants your gratitude. Look at verse 15 there at the end there. It says, and call upon me in the day of trouble, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Lastly tonight, he wants your praise. He wants your praise. Look down, if you would, at verse 23. We didn't read it, but it says, See, in verse 15 it says, and I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify me. Does it not? Is that what it says? Then he says this in verse 23, whoso offereth praise glorifieth me. You want to bring glory to God? Give him praise. Praising him brings him glory. Listen, ladies and gentlemen, is he worthy of praise? Amen. Did he create everything that we can see and all that we cannot see in 6 days? I'd say he's worthy of praise. Did he not send his son to die an agonizing death on the cross for us? Did he not? He's worthy of our praise. Did he not raise him from the dead 3 days later? Did he not tell us he's coming back to take us home? Amen. I think he's worthy of our praise. Let me just give you quickly 3 ways you can praise him. You can praise him with your lips. And we should praise him with our lips. I think it's a great thing when you pop into an elevator and somebody says, how are you today? And you say, praise the Lord. Praise the Lord. I like what Brother Jeff says, better than I deserve. I like that one, amen. But, hey, you know, how you doing today? And you don't have to be a fool, you know. You can say, glory to God, amen. But boy, I'll tell you what, God deserves praise with our lips. I think that's a great way to start your prayer time. After you take time and confess, just say, oh God, thank you. I love you. You're so great. You're so wonderful. You say, oh, God's not an egomaniac. Listen, God desires to hear praise. God desires to hear praise. And I'll tell you what, he's the only one that's worthy of praise. Praise him with your lips. You know what else you do? You praise him with your life. The way you live your life can praise God. I think especially during dark moments, in difficult times. Boy, I'll tell you, Brother Willett said during the couples seminar, he said, when you squeeze an orange, you don't get apple juice. You get what's on the inside. And I'll tell you, sometimes God squeezes us. And I have to confess, Uncle Joe, sometimes I don't like what's on the inside. But our life, not only our lips. And by the way, our lips and our life ought to match up. Amen. Like a chain link fence, amen. Ought to be right there. Some people's lips don't matter because their life doesn't match. And then lastly, not only your lips and your life, but letting the lost know about him praises God. It brings glory to God. Talking about that coming up in our missions conference, but boy, it ought to be the thrust of our lives. Not just for preachers, not just for associate pastors, not just for missionaries, but for God's children to let the lost know. Jesus said, "Herein is my Father glorified, that you bring forth much fruit, and that your fruit should remain." Amen. What does God want? What does God want from you? God wants your gratitude. And He's worthy of it. Amen. God wants your word. He wants your yea to be yea and your nay to be nay. God wants your prayers. And God wants your praise tonight. Amen. Hey, let's do this. Let's give Him what He wants. Let's give Him what He wants. Father, we